Today on Older and Wiser.
You may hate the way airlines treat customers, but guess what? A new survey shows people care more about fares than service.
Also, we'll explain why you should never pick your own profile picture, and we'll reveal the worst presents for Mother's Day.
Plus, good news for people who talk to their dogs. What about their cats? I'm Susan Sikora.
And I'm Bob Bates, and you're listening to Older and Wiser. Of course, we all saw it, that awful video a few weeks ago of a passenger being dragged off a United flight because they needed to get some of their own employees on board. It was pretty ugly.
And they say that's in the fine print, and I got to tell you, as often as I have flown in my life, not lately, but, you know, often enough, I never knew that.
Well, I've been on flights many times in which they'll say, hey, listen, we're overbooked. We're offering a travel voucher for, you know, $500
yes.
or $1,000.
That's more common. I'm just talking about the fact that it came out in the news that basically you had to give up your seat at some point.
Well, it was because they had already offered $800 and nobody gave up their seat.
Right. And so then when they get to that point, when they're stuck and they're painted into a corner, guess what? Somebody has to get off.
I don't know. Are they painted into the corner because $800 is their cutoff? Come on. I mean, I think before you start dragging paying customers off, you need to up it as far as you can go. And eventually they would have been able to buy those seats back. But bottom line is, it was a very ugly moment for United Airlines. And I have to say, I said to myself, I will never fly United Airlines again.
Ooh.
And a lot of people I know said the same thing after they saw that. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. You say that on the day you see the video, but then you got to book a flight somewhere.
Yes.
And you go online and you start looking at prices and you start comparing routes and you figure out what the layover is going to be here and there. And eventually you end up flying United Airlines again.
Well, I think you're going to go with the best deal. I mean, most people would rather keep the money and spend it at the destination if it's a leisure trip, or save the money from the start, from the get-go.
And according to a new survey published by McClatchy.com, here's the headline. It says, "Why We Continue to Fly with Airlines Who Treat Us Terribly." That caught my attention. The poll that they're talking about was done by Morning Consult, and they asked 1,800 people just a few days after that United incident if they would book a United Airlines flight or an American Airlines flight if they had the choice.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them said, guess what? American. I don't want to fly United.
Yeah.
But then here's the deal. They changed the question a little bit. And they said, okay, let's say the American flight was $204 and the United flight was $270. Hmm. Now, what do you say? Are you still going to stand by your protest against United Airlines for being so awful? Well, guess what?
Yes.
65% said they would, in fact, choose United.
65.
So,
okay.
What have we learned here? It's all about the money.
The bottom line is the bottom line. When are people going to get this? Congress should figure it out. Politicians should. People should. Everybody should figure this out. It's the bottom line. If you can't afford something and it's going to put you in some kind of debt. I mean, I think after the last recession, and I'm getting crazy here, but I'm just saying, people understand they better watch their money. And they start to watch not every penny, but maybe in some cases, you know.
Yeah. Okay, so they can beat me up, but
leeway.
if it's cheaper, I'll go on the cheaper flight.
You'll take the deal.
Of course. You'll take the deal no matter how awful the airline. In fact, in 2011, a Consumer Traveler survey revealed that 77% of people consider the price of the flight first.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you can get this so easily now on apps, online, wherever. You know, you can see it right there in front of you. So there's no reason to book a flight and say, I'll take that, and then find out a day later, oh, I could have gone for $100 less on the other airline.
Yeah. Well, as it turns out, I didn't have to take United on this upcoming flight. I'll be on Virgin. So there you go.
There you
go. I lucked out.
All right. Well, there you are.
All right. Moving on. Our next survey reveals the worst presents received by mothers on Mother's Day. This was published in Dublin Live. So,
oh,
so because it was from Ireland, the things might be a little different.
Uh-huh.
The survey revealed, among other things, the worst presents you can give to your mom would be an iron.
Ugh.
A dustpan.
Ooh.
Or a carton of milk.
A carton of milk.
Well,
I mean, hi, Mom. Here's some milk. Can you pass me the cereal? I don't know.
Maybe. Maybe. I'm just guessing. Children's gifts to Mom. Because when you're a kid, you don't exactly know what Mom really likes, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
I recall once giving my mother, I found this at the drugstore. It was a little glass jar with a thing through the top that you pushed up and down, and it chopped up vegetables inside inside the glass jar. And I thought it was a great little device, you know.
Yeah, sure.
And to be honest, and I gave it to my mom on Mother's Day, and she said, "Oh, thank you so much, Bobby." And and I was very proud of it.
She went off chopping for the rest of the day.
She never used it. She put it up there. I'm going to save this for a special time when I need to chop something.
Yeah, like and the garage sale we have next spring.
She never used it. Men may be worse at buying nice presents for their mothers than women. What do you think about that?
Well, probably because, first of all, how old are their mothers at that point? If they're grown men, they're probably not great shoppers. I mean, they're probably sick of shopping. And that's very sexist to say, perhaps. I don't know. But the most men I know don't like to shop, although I know a lot of women that don't like to shop anymore either.
I do recall once my father gave my mother, and this wasn't for Mother's Day. It was probably a birthday or something. He gave her a vacuum cleaner.
See? This is
as
like,
a gift.
What doesn't say love about that? I know. People do this all the time. That's not just your family.
That was in the 60s, but whatever.
Yeah. Unless a woman says to her husband or her children, "I would love a brand new Dyson vacuum cleaner and we'll never be able to afford it, but if you all put your money together instead of getting me flowers and candy and dinner and this and brunch and that, let's all put it together and get a Dyson." If she says that, if it comes from her,
I see what you're
then I think you get a pass. And then what about the homemade gifts? I think those are kind of cute from children. Not if you're 19, but I mean if you're a little kid, why not?
According to this survey, the best Mother's Day presents ever included typical items like flowers, handmade cards, breakfast in bed, that's a good one, mm-hmm. and jewelry. Every woman loves jewelry.
Jewelry, right, if you know what she likes.
49% of people say their favorite gift was a spa treatment.
Oh.
Or a voucher for a spa treatment.
All right.
Our next survey reveals, here's the headline, "Looking for the best profile pic? Ask a stranger." I guess the deal here is what this survey revealed is you are the worst person to pick your own photo.
I don't know. I mean, when I first heard this, I thought, that's kind of interesting because why wouldn't I pick out the best one? I know where my flaws are. A lot of times, and I think this is true for many of us, we see our flaws and most people don't even notice what we're talking about.
Well, this research was done at the University of South Wales in Sydney. And according to the lead study researcher, he says that strangers consistently selected more flattering pictures than the people who chose for themselves.
You know, I guess it comes down to objectivity because for the situation, again, let's say if I'm choosing somebody to work in my company, I'm looking for a professional look. I'm looking for somebody who doesn't have, you know, four noses on their face. But, the thing is, it depends on the job that I'm looking to fill.
One of the theories he's got here is that our face is so familiar to us,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's overly familiar. We look at it every single day. So this familiarity seems to make it harder to choose the specific shot that best portrays us, because maybe it's like what you said before. We're looking at that mole over our eyebrow and we don't take a look at the overall image, because what these strangers were able to take from the photos was trustworthiness, approachability, likability, so which we can't even perceive that in our own images.
I mean, I've always asked my girlfriends, but ultimately, you know, if I'm going to put a picture in for anything that's important to me, that's going to be out there for something, I would ask. There's certain friends I would ask, and maybe I'd ask them all, but ultimately, I would make the final decision. That's going to happen anyway.
All right, let's move on. Our next headline, puppies love your baby talk, but dogs don't. Baby talk for dogs. I guess you've seen people do this where they've got a little chihuahua in their handbag and they're going, Gucci, 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 Gucci.
Okay, cats need equal time here.
Okay.
As a cat lover and a cat parent, I think it happens with kitty cats as well. And so,
of course, you probably do talk baby talk to your cat.
Who, Boo Boo?
Well, you've named the cat a baby talk name.
No, that's not his name. That's my point.
Oh, that's his nickname.
It's my little boo-boo. But, you know, I don't do that in front of too many people. Just, you know.
But apparently puppies do, in fact, respond well to the Gucci-Gucci-Goo baby talk that people like to do to their dogs, while older dogs are less impressed.
When you go to baby talk, you're like, oh, boo-boo. But, you know, if I say, Benson, come here, you know, it yeah. might be different. Or I might call him my baby Benson. Then I would definitely use the baby talk, you know. But the tone, and I think that's true for people who have dogs. They'll start, you know, oh, poochie, poochie, poo kind of thing to the dog. And you have to be careful where you do that. You don't want to do it, you know, to the people you're interviewing with, and like in the last discussion we had. But I don't know. I think your tone changes.
The survey actually supports the fact that this higher pitch, slow tempo sort of speech that people like to do has a functional value for very young puppies. So when you're training a newborn dog, it does, for some unknown reason, seem that it works. It works. Mm-hmm. But meanwhile, the older dogs don't care.
People who own dogs say that dogs are more responsive and they're more needy for people, and the cats are more aloof. And so, you know, as a cat owner, that, you know, basically they're telling me I don't really understand dogs. And I guess I don't.
Can you get your cat to come to you when you call?
Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will your cat do any other tricks on command?
No, we don't do tricks.
Will your cat do anything that you request of it?
Well,
no.
He won't, you know, he won't wash the dishes. I mean, he's not into a lot of labor.
No.
So I don't know. I mean, he's an indoor cat,
yeah.
So, you know, he sees me mostly, and, I don't know. I guess I don't request enough of him. I'm not a demanding enough cat parent, I suppose.
Okay.
I'm indulgent.
All right. Well, as we wrap things up this week, you know, we used to do a little thing called Gripe of the Week. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And you sent me a little thing in the email, which I thought was kind of funny, from that you found in AARP.
Uh-huh.
And maybe this could be a good gripe of the week. Things that men wear that bug you.
We're talking about the cargo pants, right?
Okay, cargo pants, yeah. Yeah, you
right.
don't like cargo pants.
Oh, please. I totally agree with the woman who wrote her side, which, you know, they... What'd she say? She said it was a terrible look. They're boxy. And why do you need... How many pockets do you need? If you need that many pockets to go out, then either take a satchel, take a gym bag, take a man purse, take a fanny pack, take something else. A woman would take a purse or something. I mean...
Yeah.
They're not a fashion statement.
I hear that. Well, here's my gripe, my fashion gripe, and we'll do it the opposite. An item that women wear that mm-hmm. kind of bugs me. And this is Uggs. You know what Uggs are?
Uggs, yes.
Of course,
know.
These are the boots, the big, fluffy, giant boots that look like they're not bad if you're going on a ski trip. Okay, you're up in the mountains and it's snowing and you put your Uggs on. That's kind of cool. But here in Los Angeles, women wear their Uggs to the gym in the summertime.
Okay, I was just going to say there's only one place where I could see wearing Uggs, and that would be probably if I went to a yoga class in the evening in the winter where it's a little chilly out, I probably should put socks on, but the Uggs have this kind of fur or fake fur lining.
Yeah, that's the logic behind it, I guess, and they are very comfortable, I'm told, by my wife and daughter wear them all the time, and
yeah.
daughters
they're
wear
comfy.
Them all the time.
Sure.
Yeah, they're comfy. So if you've got a wear something, you can slip those on, and it's like you're wearing slippers outdoors. It just looks goofy to me. I'm just saying it's goofy.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't wear them out to dinner.
All right. Well, I guess that brings us to the end of another episode. I'm Bob Bates.
And I'm Susan Sikora. Join us again for olderandwiser.com.
See you next time.